just the way you are.
Nolan is Illegal Radio, broadcasting live out of CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Ryerson University campus. This is Nolan is Illegal Radio for Friday, October 1st, 2010. On today's show, we'll be speaking with Chris Ramsarup from Justicia for Migrant Workers about some of the work they're engaged in around recent migrant deaths in the field. But first, we're going to start off with some headlines with my co-host, Craig Fortier.
At 10 a.m. on Wednesday night, 10 undercover police officers arrested Yaroslava Avila outside Queen's Park subway station. Yaroslava is a prominent indigenous sovereignty and solidarity activist from Chile. She will be appearing in court. Actually, she has appeared in court this Thursday morning at 10 a.m., and we have received recent word that she has received bail. Yaroslava was arrested on G20-related conspiracy charges. "We are outraged," said Jessica Denyer of the Community Solidarity Network. Quote, "The Toronto Police, in collaboration with the G20 Special Investigations Unit, have declared an all-out war against community activists in Toronto. They are trying to make examples out of people to send a message to the broader public to not step out of the line, to dare not to voice our dissenting views. They are trying to set a precedent for what would happen to us if we dare speak out against their brutality and injustice," end quote, she said. Rachel Avery, member of AWOL, a social justice group based in Kitchener, said, quote, "The police don't want people speaking out because they don't want the public to hear what more than 40,000 people in Toronto demonstrated for during the G20, Indigenous sovereignty, ecological justice, gender justice, and economic justice. They're using the continued attacks on our communities as means to justify the $1.2 billion the Conservative government splurged during the G20, much of it on, quote-unquote, security." At an earlier press conference on Monday, Nathalie Desrosiers, general counsel at the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, said, quote, "These acts of intimidation and politically motivated arrest by the police that seek to silence critics of the government are a clear and illegal violation of the Charter rights of freedom, of free speech, and to freedom of peaceful assembly," end quote. Dr. Abir Majid, a family physician and member of Health for All, was present at the event last night. She says of the arrest, quote, "Last night was a public educational forum at the University of Toronto on the impact of G20 policies and austerity measures on health. Police intimidation of those engaging in critical policy discussions is wholly unacceptable," end quote. The arrest follows on the heels of the arrest of Alex Hundert, a community organizer based in Toronto, also charged with G20-related conspiracy, for attending a panel discussion at Ryerson University at the invitation of a faculty member there. Following the arrest of Alex, the police intimidated Leah Henderson, another community activist facing similar conspiracy charges, by threatening to arrest her if she spoke at a panel discussion in Edmonton.
In Europe, September 29th was a day of action against government spending cuts. Tens of thousands of protesters came out, mostly in Spain, Belgium, Slovenia, and Greece, to cause widespread disruption in protest of the inhumane austerity measures many countries are imposing on their populace. Trade union support was expressed in Ireland and England, and there are reports of numbers of people on strike in the range from 50,000 to 10 million, as well as reports of police brutality.
The government sources in Toronto have reported to the Star that former Ontario Chief Justice Roy McMurtry has agreed to lead the examination of the 1939 Public Works Protection Act, passed to deal with home front security risks during the Second World War. Police arrested and detained over 1,105 people and charged 278. The rest were released or never broken. Most charges have been subsequently dropped. It was a regulation under the Act quietly rubber stamped by Prime Minister or Premier Dalton McGuinty's cabinet early last June. That designated areas within the downtown G20 security zone would be designated as quote-unquote public works. Misunderstandings over the significance of the regulation catapulted the Ontario government and Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair into controversy. Blair has now admitted that there was no 5-meter rule, saying, quote, "No, but I was trying to keep the criminals out," end quote. Both McGuinty and Prime Minister Stephen Harper have ruled out holding public inquiries into handling of security at the summit.
Canada's prison watchdog organization has reported that the Canadian prison system is institutionalized discrimination. A disproportionate amount of Aboriginal people are in jails and prisons in this country, where they serve longer sentences, are jailed in higher security prisons, and more likely to be denied parole. Canada lacks useful programs for Aboriginal people once they get out of prison. Beverly Jacobs of the Native Women's Association of Canada spells it out this way. The Aboriginal overrepresentation in prisons is a direct result of a community that struggles with poverty, poor education, unemployment, dismal living conditions, alcoholism, and violence. Minister Stockwell Day of the Conservative Party assures us that he has every confidence in the prison system in Canada while trying to build more and bigger prisons for imaginary crimes.
In a rare victory, the Supreme Court of Canada has ruled a number of provisions of anti-prostitution legislation make women unsafe. Quote, "These laws individually and together force prostitutes to choose between their liberty interests and their right to security of the person as protected under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom. I find that the danger faced by prostitutes greatly outweighs any harm which may be faced by the public," end quote, writes Justice Susan Himmel in her decision. The decision has 30-day stay, and the federal government can extend this stay in order to appeal the ruling, which they have quoted that they will be doing.
And for more on this ruling and the political resistance and movements mobilizing in support of it, stay tuned for OCAP Radio at 6:30, where our OCAP co-hosts will be speaking with some people directly mobilizing in the community around these laws and rulings, breakthrough rulings.
A survivor of torture at the hands of an American-backed military dictatorship, Dilma Rousseff, 63, will soon be president of a burgeoning economic powerhouse in Brazil. Like President José Mujica of Uruguay, Brazil's neighbor, Ms. Rousseff is unashamed of a past as an urban guerrilla, which included battling the generals and spending time in jail as a political prisoner. As a girl, growing up in the provincial city of Belo Horizonte, she says she dreamed successively of becoming a ballerina, a firefighter, and a trapeze artist. But after her father, she and her siblings had to work hard with the mother to make ends meet. By 16, she was a member of the Workers' Politics Party, a group outside the traditional Brazilian Communist Party that sought to bring socialism to those who knew little about it. While the general seized powers in 1964 and decreed a reign of terror to defend what they called national security, she joined secretive radical groups that saw nothing wrong with taking up arms against an illegitimate military regime. Besides cosseting the rich and crushing trade unions and the underclass, the general censored the press, forbidding editors from leaving gaps in newspapers to show where news had been suppressed. Ms. Rousseff herself ended up in the clandestine VAR Palmeiras Armed Revolutionary Vanguard. In the 1960s and 70s, members of such organizations finally seized foreign diplomats for ransom. A U.S. ambassador was swapped for a dozen political prisoners. German ambassador was exchanged for 40 militants. A Swiss envoy swapped for 70. They also were able to defeat many of the right-wing paramilitary defense squads in the region. Though she says she never personally used weapons, she was eventually rounded up and tortured by secret police in Brazil's equivalent to Abu Ghraib, the Tiradentes prison in Sao Paulo. She was given a 25-month sentence for quote-unquote subversion and freed after 3 years. Today, she openly confesses to wanting to have changed the world. And in fact, she will have the opportunity as she will be sworn in as the president of Brazil sometime this week.
And that's it for our headlines, but we would like to close with a quote from Howard Zinn. And he's written, "The memory of oppressed people is one thing that cannot be taken away. And for such people with such memories, revolt is always an inch below the surface."